Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Presbyterian Church in Ireland's latest podcast that has been looking at this year's General Assembly, which starts on Thursday, the 20th of June. We are taking things in two parts, two for the price of one podcast, if you like. And I've been joined by the Reverend Trevor Gribben, Clerk of the General Assembly, the Reverend Dr. David Allen, the Deputy Clerk, PCI's Public Affairs Officer, Dr. Rebecca Stevenson, who is known to all as Bex, and the Reverend Alvin Rankin, Convener of PCI's Council for Congregational Life and Witness. If you have listened to part one, you'd have heard Trevor give a brief overview of the 2024 General Assembly, including some important changes that come into effect next week. Then David outlined the next phase of a hugely important process for the church known as reconfiguration of ministry. He also gave us a bit of background to that as well. While much of what will be discussed next week are church-related matters, we're a church after all, the mundane and the not so mundane, and the crucially important, Bex took us through the work of the Council for Public Affairs and some of the issues that it will be bringing to the floor of the General Assembly, including resolutions that concern education in Northern Ireland and assisted suicide and euthanasia across these islands. In part two now, Alban kicks off the show and talks about the work of the Council for Congregational Life and Witness, which he convenes, and an initiative called Present, which will be launched next week at the General Assembly. After that, as we begin to wrap up this podcast, Trevor will take us through the broad sweep of business the General Council is bringing to the floor of the House next week, and the importance of having guests from partner churches and organisations from overseas. Our podcast guests will also be telling me about the verses from Scripture that God has laid on their hearts for next week's assembly. And finally, the words. One word that each gave in part one to describe next week's annual event will be finally explained. So once again, thank you for joining us. I hope that you have found it informative so far. Here's part two.
The Reverend Alban Rankin is with us today. He is council convener who has been quietly sipping his coffee and waiting patiently. But if I can come to you now, could you tell us a bit more about the council and some of the initiatives that you are bringing to this year's General Assembly, especially something called Present?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. This council has an enormous remit. It stretches from leadership development, discipleship, faith sharing and pastoral care, through to PW, children, youth, and we now have editorial responsibility and oversight for the Herald. So it's a very broad-ranging remit. And the council really tries to go about its work in two principal ways, one through conversation and the other through collaboration. And the extensive report that folk will be able to read illustrates much of that conversation and engagement that has been ongoing. We've been engaged in a number of areas under the title of landscaping, really an initiative to help congregations and presbyteries reshape the way in which ministry and mission is carried out across the island. And so that has touched on encouraging congregations to consider working together in a more collaborative way. It's also involved a focus on youth work and indeed a focus on our ministry to those who are in our older age bracket as well. And a recent gathering and conference here focused in on that, and materials have been provided and resources to encourage discipleship and evangelism amongst that particular constituency within our congregations and indeed within our wider community. But the council this year has given considerable attention and thought and reflection on something that the wider church will begin to hear more and more about. And it comes on to this one word title of present. through our listening and through our engagement with congregations, with presbyteries, it's become very evident that we are in a challenging season. We've heard something of that from the reconfiguration conversation and just that changing nature of church life because society has changed, patterns have changed. And so this initiative present is an initiative. It's not a program, it's not a set of steps that people have to take, but it's an invitation. An invitation to look and see what God's already doing. An invitation to engage with Him in worship and to think about what that is about, how we do that and how we can do that in a way that's more effective and more engaging for the community that we serve and the wider community that we're to reach out into. It's about encouraging the relationships within our church families, being present to one another, and not just turning up, but actually taking time to listen, to support, to walk with and journey with each other. And then it's about expressing faith, because this gospel that we celebrate and we rejoice in is not something that we're meant to hold on to. It's something we're meant to give away. We struggle at times to find the right language and the right images and the right stories. And of course, expressing our faith, this gospel that we are given, this gospel that we celebrate and rejoice in and is life-giving to us, giving that away is what God calls us to do. And this initiative is encouraging congregations to explore and examine how they can do that and to share how they do that. One of the outcomes of this initiative that we're looking for is a series of stories illustrating how congregations have sought to engage with God, how they've sought to encourage one another, and how they've sought to express that faith in the context, in the communities, the networks, the neighbourhoods that they're part of.
So there's a lot in that current initiative. And one of the words that you used quite a bit there was listening. And in your report it says, quote, that it is important to pay ever closer attention to what God seems to be doing among us at present. And that involves prayerful listening, as you were saying, and of course active listening. And last year your council began what was called a presbytery listening exercise, and you report on that in this year's Blue Book. Briefly, could you talk about that and its purpose, and has it been a useful listening exercise?
Let me answer that last bit. Yes, it has been useful. It's been very illuminating as well, because I think most people would concur that the church is expresses itself in different ways in different parts of the island. And so when we come to create a resource, we often find that it has to be tailored for a specific context. Our listening exercise, and this year we've been engaged with five presbyteries, has illustrated that. As we've sat with representatives from a presbytery, listened and explored together what life is like in that particular context, what the challenges are in terms of reaching out or even just building up the life of the church, and what the opportunities are. It is significantly different from one place to another. And so that need to listen carefully, to go away and reflect, and then to work together. I said earlier on that this council has two principal ways of going about its work. One is through conversation and the other is through collaboration. It's not a case that we impose a solution or a program or a resource on a presbytery or a congregation or indeed on the denomination, but rather we seek to be those who would facilitate, those who would support, and those who would encourage ministry and mission. And we do that by coming alongside, bringing perhaps at times extra capacity to a presbytery to think through. And one particular presbytery we've been working with, it has been doing just that, coming alongside them as they've engaged in a piece of strategic thinking, providing that extra capacity to help them think that through and consider the next steps that might be possible.
Thank you. And again, you'll be referencing all of that in your speech to the General Assembly.
Indeed I will.
Which isn't just about debate and discussion, it's also about listening, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's probably the big message that we want to put across, that it's that as we come together, whether it's in assembly, in presbytery, in congregation, or in worship, then we should be there to listen and listen for what God wants to say to us.
Your council, along with the other councils of the church, each present a report, as we've been talking about, and those reports are made up of combined individual reports of its committees and panels. And having said that, the General Council has five separate reports coming to this year's Assembly. Trevor, you are the Secretary to the General Council. So can you give us a flavour of the work of the Council this year, what it's bringing to the Assembly, and perhaps other areas of business that will be discussed next week that you may want to highlight for us? A busy time.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I think before I do that, I probably need to mention some of those other councils, because there's only a few of us around the table on this podcast today. We'll also be hearing at the General Assembly from the Council of Mission in Ireland, the Council for Global Mission, the Council for Social Witness, the Council for Training and Ministry. We'll be hearing from the Judicial Commission, the Linkage Commission, the General Assembly Trustees. All of those are really important, but you can only squeeze so many people onto a podcast. The General Council has its report in five sections, not because it's five times more important than anyone else, but simply because it basically talks a lot and takes a long time to report what it's been doing. It carries out, as it says in the 10, a whole lot of the general work of our General Assembly. One of the big areas David Allen's already spoken about, reconfiguration of ministry, is one of the significant reports coming through the General Council this year. And I'll not repeat what David said, other than to encourage people to go online, as you said, get the PDF of the reports and read that report, because it will affect every congregation on this island. A couple of the other things that are happening in the General Council reports is the normal finance reports. That's important. Accountability in our finance is important through support services, through the United Appeal Committee. There'll also be the routine but important work of making sure the system works, the nominations committee, appointing new people and new conveners to our councils and committees and panels of the General Assembly. And then there's a few ad hoc things we'll be doing. There's a report on decision making and dissent. Noble McNeely, the very Reverend Dr. Noble McNeely, as you give him his proper title, has been convening that committee, I think, since he was a boy. It's been going on for years. And God willing, this is the final report this year in one small section to be finally debated and decided by the General Assembly. There's also the whole work of church relations will be reported, and we have a new relationship being proposed with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church USA this year, as well as reporting on our links in Ireland and the World Communion of Reformed Churches. One bit I want to mention, Mark, that's not actually under the General Council, it's actually under the Judicial Commission, though the General Council has something to do with it, and it's code republishing. Now, before people turn off their podcast and stop listening, let me tell you why code republishing is so important. Let me try to explain that and convince all of our listeners. The code is the constitution of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's what, in a sense, holds us all together. It's our core document for charity registration in the north and in the south. It gives us our guidelines and our guidance for how we operate as a General Assembly. And for a number of years now, we've been republishing it, which is really a big review. It last happened in 1980. I want to take all the credit for all the good bits of that. And I want to give the blame to other people if there are any bad bits in it. But joking aside, I couldn't have done that work. That work began as I was taking over as clerk of the Assembly. I'm so in debt to my predecessor, Dr. Donald Watts, who agreed to convene that group, and he's been convening it for years now as it does its work, and also a few other people, the Deputy Clerk Emeritus, Jim Stothers, who in his retirement has done a lot of the administrative work for that. My own colleague here, David Allen, who is his secretary, he will get the credit as well for the good bits, and we blame Jim and Donald for any bad bits. And one other person, the General Assembly Solicitor, Stephen Gowdy. This has been, you know, instead of playing golf or watching football, Stephen has been republishing the code for the last 4 or 5 years, and we owe Mrs. Gowdy a huge debt for that. David, you want to take a lot of credit for this as well, so you better say something.
I would love to take a lot of credit for it, Trevor, but anybody who knows would realise that it would be a false claim on my part. You've summed it up very well. We would like to take the credit, but we have to actually give it to Donald, Jim and Stephen. They have been volunteers in this in many ways, and they have given their time to it. You will know that over a number of winters now, this group has met at times weekly, and the meetings have lasted often 2.5, 3 or more than 3 hours each. You don't come out of those meetings feeling terribly refreshed. To pick up a word
as Beck's big word,
to quote Beck's word.
But we were present.
We were present, and I should say, we have refreshed the code. I should say, while they may not have been terribly refreshing, we were present, and to be more serious, they were important, to use my own word, if I can pat myself on the back. Those meetings were really important, and I agree with you entirely. This is a really important thing for the church, because it does hold us together. It's something that is central to our congregations and our presbyteries and the life of our church. And while it may be something that folks will be tempted to turn off their devices in the midst of us trying to convince them that it's important, it actually is important. So fair play to those who have been involved in it.
And this year's assembly approves a final draft. And we'll be making any final changes necessary. I think it's also available in the PDF, which will be in the General Assembly website. All members of Assembly have got a PDF of it, and no doubt are reading every jot and tittle of it, even as we speak here today.
So it's the last draft, final draft. What happens after that if the General Assembly say yes?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, because this is one of my favourite bits of the current code. It goes down to presbyteries again under something called the Barrier Act. It can't be amended this time, but it goes to the 19 presbyteries who all vote on it in block. Do we want it or do we not want it? And there needs to be a majority of presbyteries, and indeed a majority of people voting in presbyteries to receive it. If that happens, then it comes back to the, what year is this, 2024? The 2025 General Assembly, who finally enact it, and it becomes the new code, constitute the Presbyterian Church, on the 1st of January 2026, just as David Allen and I get our pensions.
And I think that would be probably a 10-year process if you began around 2016.
Yes, we were both boys when it started. Yes.
David, you mentioned, when you were talking about the code there, relationships. And if I could just come back to you, Trevor, on this, we're going to enter into a new relationship with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, USA, and these relationships have always been important to the church, and this year we will be welcoming overseas delegates from Nepal, Poland, Malawi, and I think for the first time a delegation from the Presbyterian Church of Guatemala, which will include their moderator. So why is it important that we have delegates from overseas, and what role will they play next week?
Yeah, look, I would love to say that the code debate is the most important debate in the Assembly. It is. I would love to say that, you know, the General Assembly trustees debate will set the place on fire, or the report of the Linkage Commission. But really, over the years, what has been a highlight for the General Assembly has been something that came in maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, a section called Listening to the Global Church. And it's a time when we actually listen as a General Assembly to what brothers and sisters from across the world have to say to us. Look, we are not the Church of Jesus Christ. Not even here in Ireland, we're not the whole church. We're part of the church. And as we listen to each other, as we cooperate, as we learn for each other, as we do mission and ministry together, That is how we fulfill Christ's calling to us to be the Church of Jesus Christ. So sometimes church relations people say, oh, it's very controversial, ecumenism, we're all on the road to wherever we're on the road to. Look, that's nonsense. There are Christians on this island who are not Presbyterians. They're a bit footish, they could be Presbyterians, but there are other Christians. We work with them, we cooperate with them, we do the work of the kingdom of God together, and there are Christians throughout the world, some in our Presbyterian family, who are coming to visit us today from Guatemala, from Malawi, from Nepal, from other places, but also Christians of different denominations and types. And working together where we share gospel values is so important. So we are enriched. And looking forward, look, it's at, let me just check my notes. Yes, it's at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, listening to the Global Church. You can tune in to the internet to listen to it. You can come in. It'd be great to come into the gallery and listen to brothers and sisters tell us about mission and ministry in the place God has called them to.
Thank you. And as you say, it has become one of the highlights of the General Assembly. It is on Friday at 2 o'clock, and guess what follows it? The debate on the republishing of the code.
Oh, yeah. You can be there for a double blessing, I think the word is, Mark.
Well, we've nearly come to the end of our time together, and sometimes before we finish, I would ask each of our contributors if there's a particular verse or passage of scripture that's on their heart for this year's General Assembly. So we're going to do that again this year. But before I do, did you all know that in the General Assembly hall downstairs actually has its own piece of scripture? Did you know that?
I'm sure I meant to know that, but if I was questioned, I would refer the public to the press and media officer to give the answer on my behalf.
Well, that would be me. But to be fair, I don't think a lot of people actually know it, because it's actually quite small.
Where is it?
Either if you're looking at the stage, either side of it, you've got two minstrel galleries that were originally on the first floor.
Okay.
And underneath them, there are two angels. Two on one side, two on the other. And each, between the two, there's a swag. People are laughing at me. There's a swag or a banner, right? And in the banner is carved the following words. Praise him in the seat of the elders. And then on the right one, it says, and with two angels holding it, the continuation of this verse, exalt him in the assembly of the people. It's from Psalm 107, verse 32, and rather appropriate for a place in which the General Assembly meets. Words are literally set in stone there and have been for nearly 120 years. So, like all of you, not many people actually know that they are there. But during General Assembly, have a little lookout for those. Praise him in the seat of the elders, exalt him in the assembly of the people. So what passage of scripture has impressed upon our guests for next week? Alban, what about you?
A verse in Mark's Gospel, Mark 4, verse 9, where Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As Trevor has spoken about the listening to the global church, it's always struck me that as we meet in assembly, our greatest task and our greatest opportunity is to listen, yes, to one another, but to listen for God in the reports, in the debates, in the conversations. But to do that, we need to come with that intentionality to listen.
Okay, thank you. David?
I'm going to mention Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. For me, this is a comfort. The knowledge that this is true, but it's also something I believe that prompts us to pray, that actually in all of the plans that have been made and are being made for the General Assembly, plans that are in people's hearts, I'm one of those people, that actually it will be the Lord's purpose that prevails.
That's a good one. Bex, can I come to you?
Yeah, I think Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I think this verse is important to remind us, above all else, that we are called to love and we're Christians. So there's a lot of process, there's a lot of work to be done next week, but it's important to remember that the focus and why we're there is because of our love for God, and that should be what we're aiming to imitate before others.
Thanks. And Trevor?
Yeah, in many senses, a follow-on from what Bex has just said. I said earlier in the podcast that one of the key things we're doing in the General Assembly is coming together, Presbyterians from all over Ireland, to wait upon the Lord. This is what Isaiah says in chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. You know, we're coming together as human beings, men and women, young people, older people. And a lot of colleagues are tired. We're at the end of a church session, as it were. We're waiting for our summer holidays. But the going is tough. And the big issues we're talking about, we're going to be debating. But as we wait upon the Lord, he's a God who wants to bless us more than we can ever imagine. And my prayer is that as ministers and elders, women's reps, youth reps, under 30s reps, visitors who are with us, people in the public gallery, people tuning in, as we generally wait upon the Lord, as Dr. Mahoney preaches at the opening of the assembly, as John Reisberger preaches at the assembly rally, as Dr. Murray preaches at his installation and then again at the communion service, as we wait upon the Lord, that we might renew our strength, and that we might go from meeting in General Assembly to be leaders and members of the Church of Christ in mission and ministry for the glory of Christ.
And I think we would all say amen to that. So thank you for sharing what God has put on your hearts for next week's Assembly. And I think we would all encourage everyone listening to pray for its deliberations and those taking part. And our moderator, Dr. Mahoney, Sam, as he completes his year in office and returns to Adelaide Road Presbyterian Church in Dublin to take up the reins once more. Before that, he will open proceedings next Thursday, as Trevor has been saying. He'll chair the Assembly until the installation of his successor, Dr. Richard Murray, of Drumrea Presbyterian Church in County Antrim, which takes place on Friday afternoon. So please pray for Dr. Murray as well as he prepares to step away from his church family for the duration of his time as our moderator, which is always hard for ministers. And at this time, pray that his year in office would also be fruitful. Okay, I think we have just about enough time to go back to the words that came to your minds at the beginning of our podcast, and I wrote them down. So Trevor, your word was facilitation. Why is that?
For two reasons. First of all, this week as we're recording this and when it's broadcast, I'm just amazed that the people in this building, in all the offices, in the support services departments, who are working crazy hours to facilitate the General Assembly. Behind the scenes, there are countless people doing their job. There are staff members, there'll be council secretaries working hard. And then there'll be the people who, like Alban, is a minister of our church, but also convenes a council or a committee or a panel of our church, who are facilitating the work of the General Assembly. Without those people, the General Assembly could not operate. But there's a second meaning to the word facilitation that I want to apply, and it's what the General Assembly is doing. You know, the ministry and the mission of the church is not conducted in the General Assembly. It happens in congregations, in special mission projects throughout this island and throughout the world. The General Assembly is here to facilitate that work through our coming together to do what we couldn't do by ourselves as ministers and elders in our councils. So facilitation. I thank God for those who facilitate the Assembly, and I thank God that as a General Assembly, we can facilitate the work of mission ministry in our congregations.
Thank you, Trevor. It's a good word. And Bex, your word was refreshed.
Yeah, I think, as Trevor's touched upon, there's been a lot of change for General Assembly this year. I've not been to a General Assembly before. This is my first one. But I think a lot of the changes are going to be refreshing changes. That's my prayer, that General Assembly will be refreshing for those who attend. But also, we're refreshing our stances on things and reaffirming our stances on things. And so, yeah, I think it's a very positive word for saying there's going to be some change.
Thank you. Albin, yours was present.
Yeah, it's a word that I've been living with for the past year. And it, for me, it's more than just turning up. It's more than just ticking your name off a list. It's about intentionality. It's about encounter. It's about engagement. And my prayer is that, yes, we will be physically present in assembly. But more than that, we will be present to God. We will be open to hearing and being led by His Spirit. We'll be open to learning from the global church, but also open to learn from what's happening in different parts of this island, and open to doing things in a different way, not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of being obedient and being faithful. And being the witness that God's called us to be where we are present, here and now. Not always hankering to when it was this or looking forward to what it might be, but actually engaging and grasping with the now and living out this faith that is filled with hope and promise that God's given us in Christ.
Great, thank you. Lastly, David, yours was important.
Yes, thanks, Mark. I chose that word simply because I think the assembly is important as the church comes together. As we join together in General Assembly, it's important that we do that and we worship. It's important that we do that and we share fellowship together. It's important that we do that as we listen. As we listen to each other, but also as we listen to God. And having done that, then it's important as we come together to set the direction of the church. We trust, we pray that we set that direction as God leads, and we follow. And the work that is done on the ground has that direction set from God, as we have met and shared fellowship and worshipped and listened to Him. And then as together we seek to follow Him. I think that's all important.
It certainly is. So important, present, refreshed, and facilitation are four words that our guests sum up our General Assembly that's taking place next week. Well, that does actually bring us to the end of this year's podcast on the General Assembly and a look ahead to the business that will be before members. If you can, you will be more than welcome to join us in the public gallery here in Assembly Buildings on Thursday the 20th of June, when our moderator, Dr. Sam Mawenny, will constitute the Assembly itself and lead the opening worship. Business continues until the afternoon of Saturday the 22nd of June, and that's punctuated by two very important events. The Thursday evening celebration, which will be led by John Risbridger, Chair of the Evangelical Alliance Council. That starts at 7:30 p.m. that Thursday night. And the installation of our new moderator, Dr. Richard Murray, and that takes place at 4:30 p.m. on the Friday. You can watch the live stream of the vast majority of proceedings on the PCI website via our dedicated General Assembly link, which I'll give you again, is www.presbyterianireland.org/GA24. And there you'll find the blue book, schedule of business, news stories, and everything to do with the 2024 General Assembly. You can also keep up to date with everything that is going on in the life of our church via social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, and X. And for the General Assembly, please use the hashtag PCIGA24. So there you have it. Before we go, can I just say a very big thank you to all of our participants today. The Clerk of the General Assembly, the Reverend Trevor Gribben, the Deputy Clerk, the Reverend Dr. David Allen, Bex, our Public Affairs Officer, and the Reverend Albin Rankin, Minister of Stormont Presbyterian Church in East Belfast and Convener of the Council for Congregational Life and Witness. That's it. And to everyone who has tuned in, many, many thanks for listening. Goodbye.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.